Our text today will be Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 37. But we'll also be leaning heavily upon the scripture from the Old Testament that is fulfilled in our New Testament reading, 2 Samuel chapter 7, the first 17 verses. What is called God's covenant with David, King David. Hear now the words of our God. Now it came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given David rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tents, curtains." Then Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt even to this day, but have moved about in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places where I have walked with all the children of Israel, have I ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more, nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously, since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused you to rest from all your enemies. Also, the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men, but my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever." According to all these words, and according to all this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. And in the New Testament we read in Luke chapter 1, the angel came to Mary to explain that she was to give birth. Starting in verse 30, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Here ends the reading of God's word today. May he bless it to us. Let's pray. Oh Father, we thank you for the way in which the entire Bible is woven together into one beautiful message, a truth that transcends all time and cultures because it comes from the God who created the entire universe. We thank you for revealing yourself to us today in Old and New Testament. Now, we pray that as that word is proclaimed, it would be proclaimed accurately and faithfully, and you would give us ears to hear and hearts to respond in faith and joy for who you are as our King and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, congregation, there is an outline for following along in the bulletin insert this time, I think. You know, from the very beginning of the Christmas story, as we come to it in Luke chapter 1, when Mary is given this message from the angel Gabriel, we learn that the child that Mary will have is no ordinary baby. He is a king. In fact, the birth of Christ brings the Christmas king. He is a king. King Jesus is our eternal king, according to Scripture, and we'll look at that together today. That's the first thing we'll look at. King Jesus is our eternal king. The second thing we'll look at is that how he does his job as king. King Jesus rules us by his word and his spirit. And then thirdly, we'll see King Jesus defending and preserving us in our redemption. King Jesus is what Christmas is all about. He is our Christmas king. And he is an eternal king. What did the Bible say a king was supposed to do? What was the job description of a king according to the Bible? Well, a king was to rule God's people according to God's laws. The king had power to reward the good and to punish the evil. And because there was no higher authority on earth than the king was responsible to defend God's people from any enemies, from any who would attack her. But Jesus is just such a king. One of the authors to our catechism, Zacharias Ursinus, summarizes this very well in his commentary. He says, "The King of Kings is Christ, who was immediately ordained by God so that he might govern by his word and spirit the church, which he purchased with his own blood, and defend her against all her enemies, whom he will cast into everlasting punishment, and he will reward his people with eternal life." This is King Jesus. King Jesus was appointed to be king from eternity past. Even before we read 2 Samuel 7, Jesus was appointed as king, and here God announces it to King David. He says, "You will have a son, but he will be mine. This king who will come from you, this descendant, he will call me father, and I will call him son. And he will have a kingdom that will last forever." Who could this possibly be prophesying about? Well, we're not left to guess, for we come to Luke chapter 1, and the angel Gabriel quotes from 2 Samuel 7, and tells Mary, these ancient promises given to King David are coming to pass right now. This child in your womb is the king. He has the throne of his father David, and his kingdom shall never end. And we fast forward in time to the book of Revelation, and we read that for eternity, people will be worshiping Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is eternally, forever king. He's so much different then, isn't he, from all earthly kings and presidents and governors. They only last for 4 years or 8 years or maybe a lifetime at the most. But Jesus is eternally king. So many of our hymns that we sing at Christmas appropriately worship Christ, the newborn king. The Bible tells us he is our king. He is our king from before the foundation of the world. He created the earth. He will be the king in heaven. And he's also king right now. For it says he's an eternal king, which includes not only the distant past and the distant future, but right now. He's king. When he ascended into heaven,
He told his disciples, he was going to the throne room of God, and he says in Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. And he ascends into heaven, and he is king. Jesus is ruling our hearts right now. When you came to worship today, he was ruling your heart. When you come to the Lord's Supper today, he is ruling your heart. In the middle of the night, he is ruling your life. He has not forgotten about us and our troubles and the things that we face. He is king. But how do we see and understand this Jesus as truly king in a world of sin and sickness and disease and chaos? Well, the second thing that the Bible reveals to us today is that King Jesus rules us and governs us by his word and his spirit, the Holy Spirit. By his word, we read in the Holy Bible, and his Holy Spirit. Jesus rules us by his word, which tells us what God's will is. When Jesus was with his disciples, he said in John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. This is how we express our relationship with the Lord. We listen to and follow his word. He tells us how to live. He rules us through his word. That's why we read his word. Not some fairy tale book or some story or some illustration or some newspaper. We read his word. Jesus rules us also by his Holy Spirit. He gives us strength to obey his word. What earthly king can do that? Earthly kings make laws. They tell you, obey this law. If you don't obey the speed limit, you're going to get a letter in the mail, and here's the fine you've got to pay. If you don't obey this or that law, eventually some policeman may come knocking at your door and threaten to take you away and throw you in jail. And so you figure you better obey the king's word, the earthly king's word, because you don't want to pay money, or you don't want to be thrown in jail, but you're not really obeying from a heart that loves that king, or because you agree that this is a good law. It's simply out of fear. But the heavenly king, the eternal king, has a way in which he rules us not only by the command, but by his spirit. So we hear his commandments and we say, this is good. This is what I need. There's wisdom here from God. I must follow these things. He makes us want to obey. And when we don't, we realize, this isn't right. I've been called by Christ to love and follow him. I need this word. I need to come back. Jesus rules me. He's so much better than earthly kings. In John 16:13, we read that Jesus says, he will send his Holy Spirit of truth, and he will come and guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. Jesus gives us his spirit and rules our hearts today. We see this illustrated and explained to us in our text. King Jesus is ruling his own mother by his word and spirit in our text. Jesus at this point, or shortly after it, is a little fetus inside his mother's womb. And yet he's still the eternal king, ruling Mary. Those are the facts. It's amazing. It's mysterious. How can it be? But that is what is going on. Notice how this text describes to us that Jesus is king, ruling Mary through his word and spirit. She just heard the Lord's word delivered through the angel. She, the virgin, will have a child, and she says, no way, it's not possible. How can this be? Everybody knows it doesn't work that way. And yet King Jesus tells her, I rule you, not only by my word of promise, which you should and can trust and believe, but I rule you by my Spirit. With God, nothing is impossible. The Holy Spirit will make it so. He will overshadow you and this child will come. And we see she responds. In verse 37 or 38, after the angel is done, compelling her and showing her that God will rule her not only by this word but also his Spirit, she says, "Behold, I am the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." She trusts and believes the promise of God. Jesus has ruled her by his word and his Spirit. He is her King. And he is your King and mine today as well. He rules us so that not only does he show us what he's going to do and what we ought to do and what we ought not to do in his word, but he affects our hearts and changes our hearts by his Holy Spirit so that we do his will. This is not a popular truth in our culture. Our culture, even within Christianity, wants to make us choose between the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Do you want to be led by the Spirit of your feelings and perception and interpretation? Or do you want to be led by some old dusty book? You get to choose. But there is no choice presented to us in Scripture. King Jesus rules us by his Word and his Spirit. His Spirit leads and guides us in and through the words in this book that if it's dusty, shame on us. The word of King Jesus is still powerful. It is still the word of an eternal King today. This is very important for us to understand because we live in a world and we think that we live in a visual world. We've got TVs and computers and we think that kids can't learn by reading or thinking about words anymore. But if you think a little bit harder about what technology has done, it has only proven how much we need words. Every one of us has a printing, almost every one of us has a printing press at home. It's called a printer or a copy machine. That's a printing press. And what does it do? It spits out words. Almost every one of us has a computer or a little gadget in our pocket that we can access libraries all over the world. We might not have to go to a library, but we have it in our hand or on the computer. We call it the internet, but that's words. There might be some nice pictures on the side to help us understand something or show us a little bit of what a dog or a whale looks like because we've never seen a whale perhaps. But just the same, there are words there. We learn and understand by words because that's who we are as humans. And God speaks to us through words. His word is powerful. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, "The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Jesus rules us today by his word. And that will never change. And so as you think of the Lord's Supper today, we need to pray that just like Jesus did with the Virgin Mary, he would also send us his Spirit so we can believe and obey his word. In Psalm 143, we learn an example of how to pray. Psalm 143, verse 10, we pray, "Teach me, O Lord, to do your will, for you are my God. Your Spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness." God's Spirit and his word working together. Whenever a person says, "Oh, I belong to Jesus, sure, Jesus is my King, but I just don't want to listen to other people tell me what to do, but I still believe in Jesus." You don't have Jesus as your King. The person who refuses to be ruled by Jesus' words and his Spirit is in hypocrisy and sin. And that kind of life will bring you to destruction. Do not fool yourself. Do not play games with God. He knows what's going on in your heart and mind. If this is where you are today and you're here in person or you're listening at home or on the internet, you need to remember that there is no king
who is more powerful than this eternal king.
He loves and rules his people.
Submit to him and know that you will be preserved forever in his kingdom.
He will wash you clean of your sins, even the sins that say, I don't want to listen to Jesus or to anybody who comes to me in Jesus' name. He can cleanse you of that sin too.
Come to him with that mindset today. The last thing we see in our text today about Jesus as our Christmas King is that King Jesus defends and preserves us in our redemption. He defends and preserves us in this great gift of redemption. Perhaps you've done this before or have done it very recently when you get or purchase something of high value, or perhaps you get a special Christmas gift of high value, you always have to buy a little bit more than the price tag for the item itself. You're told you have to buy this extra insurance policy from the store. You know, you may get a scratch or a dent, you may drop it, you may spill your coffee on it, somebody may steal it, and so you better buy this insurance plan, this replacement policy. But Jesus himself guarantees that what he has given is of high enough quality that it will never fade away or scratch or dent. And Jesus personally sees to it that we are defended and preserved in this glorious gift of redemption. Even the gates of hell themselves cannot prevail against us. You see, Jesus is a king, and he flexes his kingly muscles to defend us. We saw that in the scriptures we read today. I don't know if you noticed that. Jesus as king in the scriptures we read.
People were not ready for Jesus to be king.
And yet, Jesus came.
You see, there's great comfort to the doctrine, the true doctrine that we call the perseverance of the saints. Once King Jesus has saved you, you can never lose your salvation. You'll never stop believing in Jesus. If Jesus has really given you true faith, you belong to him. And that will never change. He will preserve you in your faith. And that's why you will persevere until the end. That's what he did for his elect on Christmas. He came to a world that rejected him. There was no room for him in the end. The world was walking in darkness. And upon that world shone a great light. Jesus didn't let your sin and mine stop him from loving us and coming to us so that he might free us from our slavery to sin, that we might live for him in righteousness. Remember what we read from the Old Testament today about King David and his plans? He had built a gigantic house for himself, and he felt a little embarrassed that there was just this tent for the ark of God, for the Lord. So he said, let's build a great temple in Jerusalem. And God says, oh yeah? I didn't ask you to build me a house. I never asked any prophet, priest, or king for that. But I'm going to build you a house. A kingdom without end. And that kingdom, with that kingdom, I will rule my people forever. You're not ready for me. You don't have the blueprints that can accommodate me, the king of the universe. But I have the blueprints for you. And I will defend you and save you. And as we watch throughout the rest of history, we see this amazing promise shaping history. And here we come to Christmas. And Jesus is born as the Son of David. And then we come to Good Friday and he dies. And Easter, he rises from the dead. And on Ascension Day, he ascends into heaven and lives forever. How? As the King who rules God's people. God builds us a house, a mansion, for us to live in. This same Jesus is King over us today. He comes to us and corrects our independent and selfish mindset that says, we want to be King. We want to tell God, here's where you can live. Just as King David wanted to. We want to build a house for God. We want to make our family look a certain way, and then God will bless us and be nice to us. You know, at Christmas time, we work very hard to prepare our home and the decorations of the house and to make all the recipes so that people can come. Yet sometimes we think that's what we're supposed to do spiritually as well at Christmas. That we are to prepare for Christ, to decorate our hearts, to clean up our lives so that Jesus can come in. But if that is true, then every one of us ought to get up and walk out and all lead the way, because we are all sinners who are not clean enough for Christ to enter in. Our hearts are not decorated enough to welcome Jesus any day of the year, much less Christmas. The decorations of our heart are cheap imitations to the true jewels and beauty of the fruits of the Spirit that only God can work in us. And whatever good and beautiful thing we do have in our life and in our heart, that is a gift from God, who has been ruling us by His Word and His Spirit. Not because of our blueprints to build a house and a home for Him. You see, God tells us the gospel today, and that's what we need every day of the year, the gospel. The good news is that we don't have to decorate our hearts for Jesus. God says, I will come to you. I will prepare your heart. You can't prepare for me. You're too sinful, and I'm too holy and pure. Come to the table with a dirty heart. Lay your sins at the table. Lay your sins at the cross of Christ and let them be washed in His blood. Don't come because you have prepared yourself properly and are clean enough. Prepare yourself by realizing how dirty you are and how much you need Christ and Him alone. He is our King who will save us and defend us in our redemption. He's not asking us to help. He does it all. Earthly kings send their soldiers off halfway around the world to protect our country. Jesus had no soldiers to send. So He came down from His throne in heaven to earth and all alone went to the front lines in the war against sin and the devil and defeated the enemy. And then He shares with us the spoils of war. This is our eternal King. And so, dear Christian, will you come to the table today? Will you have Jesus as your King this Christmas and all year round? Will you listen to His Word and to His Spirit's guidance through that Word? Will you seek His forgiveness? Will you delight in being closer to Christ this Christmas than you were last Christmas? Indeed, each day you become closer to your King as He rules you more and more, until that day when we meet our King face to face. May all of us answer, yes, I will follow the King. In the words of Psalm 71, verse 16, we answer, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, Christ, of yours only. Amen. Let us stand in Christ. Oh, Father, how we thank you. You are such a good and gracious God, that though you have called us to examine our hearts, you have reminded us that you came to a world, to a people whose hearts and lives were very unexamined.
and you have mercy. And so help us not to use this as an excuse for sin or continuing in sin, but in fact quite the opposite, to rejoice in your mercy and love and to acknowledge you as King who rules us by your word and spirit. And so we listen to that word today. We believe it by the power of the Spirit. And we promise to follow you and follow our King's commands wherever he leads us. Well, we start by praying as he taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.